when you put a helmet on and you sit in that car, you're just a racer. And that's what we all know in the NHRA. What we've got to do now is get IndyCar, NASCAR, F1. We've got to get those major leagues to normalize women in their sport.
Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote-unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzap Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists, programming executives, development executives, and A&R. Michelle Zeitlin is excited to share her tips and tools for success through her conversations mostly via Zoom during quarantine. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
I have the distinct pleasure today of having Tammy Powers. How is that possible that I got a guest named Powers on a show called Passion to Power?
I love it.
So Tammy is in an amazing world, and I've had no guests in this world, the world of car racing, drag racing. So I'm going to let you launch into a little bit of your bio. How did a woman like you, a woman that lives in Beverlywood, has, am I right, an eight-year-old?
Yeah, she's going to be nine in August. Yep.
Homeschooling right now, hopefully going back to school soon. How does a woman get involved in drag racing? I want to hear the story. I want to hear about your initiative. And I want to hear about the big changes you're trying to make in the world of drag racing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me on. I love talking to you and getting to know you. You're amazing. So I wanted just to thank you for having me on today. I love talking about anything car racing, motorsports, women in motorsports in particular. I love talking about fast cars, and I just love the business of motorsports, and it's such a vast platform. There's so much to dig into. I grew up in a very small part of Michigan. I was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan, grew up in a little town outside of there called Wyoming, Michigan. My dad worked at Steelcase his whole life, never missed a day of work. I have an older brother and an older stepbrother. And my older brother, Ron, always had his, you know, American Metal race cars out there in Martin, Michigan. And I would always follow him around and watch him work on his car and annoyed him a lot by doing that. And I would get his hand-me-downs. So, 69 Firebird, 71 Chevelle. And when I got old enough to get out on my own and get my own apartment, I had a wonderful little red Corvette. So I've always really loved American Metal.
So can you sing the Prince song? Little red Corvette.
You don't want me to do that. You don't want me to sing. I am like, my banner in front of my mouth is tone deaf. So
okay, wait, I have to interject one thing. Since we're talking about my dope mom, we were talking about this just a second ago. She drove a convertible 69 Mustang. Hot red.
I can totally tell by the glasses.
My mom was so crazy. Okay, anyway, go on.
Yeah. So I never, dreamed I was going to be in motorsports. I grew up thinking, I'm a nurturer and I love people. And I thought, I want to deliver babies. That's what I wanted to do. I was going to be a delivery room nurse, and I was going to have this joy with everybody and, oh my God, a new life, and have, I had this vision of what it was going to be like. But then when I started learning more about it and started, during the internships and seeing it, I was kind of like, oh no, this is not for me.
It's a little messy.
It's nothing like they tell, like they show in the movies. It's nothing like
No clean fluffy white towels there.
No, and not a lot of goodness going on sometimes in those rooms. So I shied away from that, and I just sort of did my thing, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I knew, growing up in Michigan was a great place to grow up. I grew up ice fishing and fishing in the summers, and Michigan has so much to offer, the lakes and the people and the Kid Rock songs and all that stuff. So It was a fun place to grow up, but I always knew that there was something bigger. Like I needed to go out and expand myself and see the world and you know, go on an airplane and like just see things. And so I really got the exploring bug, and I wanted to go out and just see what was out there for me. You know, a lot of my friends, you get married right out of high school and you have the kids and your husband works at General Motors and you sort of live your life that way. And I think that's great. And I have a lot of friends that did that and are very happy. But I felt that there was something deep inside myself that I needed to expand and needed to explore. And I flew to Tucson, Arizona. I wanted to go live in the sunniest city in the United States. Because as you know, Michigan, it's like you have the long winters, you get the seasonal depression going on, and I wanted to live in the sunniest city. And so I looked it up, and at that time, you couldn't Google it. You sort of had to go to the library and you had to read about what's out there, right? And so I contacted the Chamber of Commerce. They sent me a VHS tape of Tucson, Arizona, and a bunch of pamphlets about apartments there. So I packed up, I got a one-way ticket. I'd never been there in my life. And I moved to Tucson, Arizona. And so,
that's like blindly throwing a dart at a map and saying, okay, what's next? A VHS tape. I mean, really? Wow.
Yeah. And so long story short, moved my way out west and then eventually landed in Los Angeles because that's what I really wanted. But I was too afraid to go to a big city. I wanted to start, you know, baby steps. You know, it's not leaps and bounds, it's steps, right? And so I ended up in Los Angeles and I was really just fascinated with film and production. And I did some commercials and a couple of television shows. And I didn't like being in front of the camera at all. It was not fun for me. It was super stressful. I was just anxious all the time. I loved seeing what happened behind the scenes. And I loved putting people together and things together. And, you know, kind of like I'm the girl, you put 1,000-piece puzzle in my lap. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the greatest part of the day. I get to put this together.
Tell me the story about how you met these drag racers from the editing bay. It's a great story.
So I was working at a post-production facility up on Sunset Boulevard, you know, where it all happens. And these guys came in and they were doing a marketing video for to get sponsors for the race team. And they were in there editing. And, you know, I was kind of watching the video and I was kind of like, oh, it's okay. You know, I didn't say much. It was a room full of men. I was just sort of just doing my job. And, you know, there was this guy, Alan Johnson, and he's like, well, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. Something's not clicking. And nobody would give him any feedback and no one would tell him anything. It was like everyone was kind of afraid or something.
So this was a video that they had up on the screens, on the monitors in the editing bay.
Yeah.
And he was trying to get feedback from his dudes. And then you come along. Okay. Got it. Okay.
Well, I was sitting there and I was just watching everything going on and just doing my job. And he said, hey, you over there, what do you think of it? And I said, well, it's not that great. I mean, I would do this, I would do that, I would do this. And it felt like the guys in the room were like, oh my God, she just said that.
What'd she say?
You know?
Yeah.
Like, well, he asked me, you know? And so he took all my notes and he loved them and they wrapped it up, did the cuts, did the edit, you know, out the door. And I got to talking to him and he's just like this really fascinating guy. And he's like the mad scientist guy, you know, he's the tuner of the car. He's the crew chief. He designs and manufactures all these great, you know, engine components that go into the engines. And he's like this mad scientist guy. And he's like, there's something about him that's fascinating to me. And everybody, you know, you could tell everybody, you know, he was very revered by everyone in the room and I didn't know who he was, you know? And so he said to me, hey, have you ever been to an NHRA drag race? And I said, well, no. I mean, I've been to the Martin, Michigan ones, watched my brother races, you know, his Camaro or whatever. And he goes, well, you got to come out to a race. And I said to him, well, I'm not going to date you. right?
Yeah, of course he was hitting on you, right?
No, you would think, but he goes, don't flatter yourself. if I was going to ask you out, it wouldn't be to a drag race. So I was like, and there was just something about him, and he and I just completely meshed. It was like, you know, this scrappy girl from Michigan who's found herself in Sunset Boulevard, and then this guy who's a genius, mechanical genius, and he is one of the most fascinating people I've ever met. And now 20 years later, I look back at this and I'm like, oh my God, it's like, I believe the universe puts people in your path, and you should always, there's no chance meetings, right? And it's like, he has been one of the biggest supporters and proponents for what I do in racing for the last 20 years. He's still my employer.
Really?
For him. Yeah, absolutely. We will always be working together in some capacity.
So I have a silly question. In your email, it has an MF. That doesn't stand for motorsport. It stands for?
Motorsport Futures.
Oh, Futures.
Yes. Yeah, so it's called Power Drive Motorsport Futures. And, my name is Powers. So I was born to do this, but what I do is, what Power Drive is very simple. It takes the power of brands, the drive of the female athlete, the female driver, and put together is Power Drive. And Motorsport Futures it's the future of motorsports. It's the next generation. It's a new look on the business of motorsports and on the inclusion of women in motorsports. So, I came up with the name in my sleep one night, and that's when all the good stuff happens. So write stuff down when you're sleeping, people, because that's when the good stuff comes, when the outside noise isn't there and it's just your subconscious able to come up to life. That's what I do. I keep a notebook next to the bed, or I make a note on my iPhone in the middle of the night. But Power Drive Motorsport Futures is the company I started at the beginning of the year. And we're building it out. We're building it up brick by brick. And what I want to do, and I am doing, is going to normalize women competing with men in all forms of motorsports in the major leagues.
Is that word normalize yours, or is that a go-to word in this part of the athletic sphere?
That's a word that I came up with, because it's like, what is my vision? What is my mission? You know, my vision is to connect the world's most progressive brands, or brands who have a strong focus on DEI, and connecting them to these great athletes. They're the best in class. They have been working their entire lives to be professional race car drivers. And what we're finding is there's a huge gap. Corporate brands are not partnering with female race car drivers like they do men. There's so much to it. It's so complicated as to why. There's so many layers of it. But what I want to do, and it just feels like it's the right time, corporations are hashtagging a lot. They're talking about inclusion, diversity, equity. They're talking about all these things now. What I want to do is inspire them to put their money where their mouth is, because it is really good for business. It's really good to connect the female into motorsports, because it is one of the only professional sports where men and women can compete on an equal playing field. Physically, physiologically, it's equal. The only thing women lack in motorsport is opportunity. So that's where Power Drive comes in to fill the gap. And what we want to do is put together amazing race programs with amazing athletes and amazing brands that are going to provide growth for these brands, and have it be good for their growth and their business. And so I've got a roster of incredible athletes that are ready for prime time in all the different leagues. And what I'm doing is working on curating their brands and then eventually monetizing it, with partners. So
I'm excited to hear how that's going to be realized.
Yeah, me too.
So who are
it's a new thing.
Who are the women that we should be paying attention to for us, those of us that don't really know that much about? I mean, I've seen it on TV. I'm fascinated by people getting in fast cars and the fire, and then they come out alive, and I'm so excited and grateful, but I don't really know who I'm watching. So who are the women that I should be paying attention to?
Well, unfortunately, that's why I have Power Drive. You're not going to see any women in the major leagues. You're not going to see, there are no women now in the NASCAR Cup. There are no women competing full time in IndyCar. There are zero women competing in Formula One. The only sport where women are normalized competing with men right now is the NHRA, which stands for the National Hot Rod Association. I've been in that space for 20 years, and they don't bat an eyelash if a woman is in the lane next to them, the men, because it's been normalized over the decades. Starting with, you know, Shirley Muldowney, I can name a dozen more. You know, Brittany Force won the 2017 World Championship in Top Fuel, the highest class of drag racing. You know, that car goes 330 miles an hour in under 4 seconds. And let me tell you, the race car doesn't know gender. When you put a helmet on and you sit in that car, you're just a racer. And that's what we all know in the NHRA. What we've got to do now is get IndyCar, NASCAR, F1. We've got to get those major leagues to normalize women in their sport, because for many, many decades, there are people that have said women cannot compete with men in Formula One. Women cannot compete with men in IndyCars or in stock cars. And it's just simply not true. And the thing is they just didn't want them there, right? And so with the world the way it is now, I mean, women are, you know, CEOs, they're running companies, they're running hedge funds, they're running a lot. And if you look
they're at finally the, in the White House.
Yes. And if you look at the data behind all of this, because, you know, you can't argue with data. It's, you know, women are equal in race cars. One of every two new race car fans are women. Women make 85% of the purchasing decisions in the home are made by women. We account for trillions of dollars in the economy. You have to start engaging them. You have to start supporting them and backing them with any career that they want to do, that they're equal in a race car to a man. We should have at least three, because I always say one of one is a gimmick in racing. They just pinpoint on the female. She makes a mistake, she can't drive. She crashes the car, she can't drive. You know, men are crashing all the time. If you look at, you know, turn on your TV at any NASCAR race or IndyCar race and people crash, you know. But what we need to do is normalize it. And the way you do that is to get more than one, get more than two, because then they'll pit the women against each other.
I just attended a 3-day online conference called Hashtag Sports, speaking of hashtags. And the conversation was very much about the inequity of women in sports. And it really starts with more media, more sponsorship dollars. The fact that you have this business acumen and that you know that world so well, it's a great place to start. I really think the buck stops here.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you look at it, I think it's 0.04% of sponsorship dollars go to female sports.
Wow.
Female athletes. And that's across the board. If you look at motorsports, it's even lower. You know, it's $6 billion a year global industry, and we see none of that. And we've got formidable athletes out here. And what's happening, unfortunately, is they're either aging out or they're just giving up. If you look at the story of Janet Guthrie, who was the first woman to compete in the Indy 500 and qualify and compete in the Indy 500, you know, she was a gimmick. They, you know, it was, there's a documentary about her experience on ESPN Plus that I highly recommend to people, because you see what happened to her and the journey that she went through, trying to fulfill her dream as a race car driver. And Janet is an incredible woman, incredible racer, incredible human being. She is just one of the most wonderful people that I could see on a screen, and just, you love her, you get her. And the reason why her career ended so abruptly is because she just could not get a corporate brand to sponsor her to keep going. And I've said this before, this, the heavy feeling I got when I watched that documentary and how angry I got, because it really hasn't changed that much in 40 years. And now Janet Guthrie, people like her, Layla Lombardi, they've all inspired generations of women to get into this, to do karting, to do, you know, to get into motorsports and to really commit their lives to it. They, they've inspired these generations to do that. And still, these young women are having trouble getting sponsorship to keep going and to become professionals in motorsports. And there's a lot of just unnecessary roadblocks that I'm trying to get rid of in front of them, because they're very deserving of it. And it's good for companies to support these women, because they're incredible athletes.
So you call them athletes, and I want to paint a picture for those of us that how are racers, because the engine is essentially not your human body. It's the engine of a vehicle you're stepping into. I guess it's a little bit like a horse, but with a horse, it's a live thing. You really are kind of in sync with your horse. You talk to your horse, you become one body. How is a person inside of a vehicle an athlete? Can you kind of speak to that?
I like how you brought up the horse analogy, because when these athletes get in these cars, they have to become one with the car. They're going so fast. There's so much horsepower. There's so much G-forces. There's so much going on that you need to be in sync with, and you have to be fit in order to do it. And it's not only physically fit, it's mentally fit. I'm telling you, seat time is everything as a race car driver. Getting to know that car, I always say you have to marry your car. Like,
did you
get
say
rid of everybody in your
seat
life?
Seat time, like the car. Front seat of a car, S-E-A-T, seat time?
Seat time. Seat time is how long you're in the race car practicing.
Ah.
Because practice makes perfect. You can't just get in any race car and drive it formidably. You have to have seat time. And that's one of the things that women lack opportunity in. I talked to one of the open wheel race car drivers that I know. And she said, I got 23 days of seat time in a race car last year. And, you know, a 16-year-old boy that's in a different league got 200 days of seat time.
We have two pods that listen to Passion to Power. We have the 18 to 26 demographic, primarily people that are looking to engage on their yellow brick road to success, performing arts, technology, digital entertainment, athletes supporting brands supporting athletes, looking to get into the marketing world. And then we have my pod, which is the 42 to 59 analytic, according to my distributor, Anchor FM. And these are the people who are making seismic shifts, certainly in 2020 to 2021 during a worldwide pandemic. But I think this might continue, as so many of us have transformed our lives to work remotely if we didn't before. Yeah. And really taking stock of what is important to me. What do I want to be doing? Would you speak to each of those pods from Tammy Powers and Power Drive and share a little bit of your wisdom?
Absolutely. So for the youngins, what a time to be alive. I mean, you're going to have one day sitting on your porch with your grandchildren, talking to them about stories of your past. And that is what you need to think about right now, because it's here before you know it. And you're in a great position in your life right now to take the adversity of what has happened the last year and turn it into something magical for yourself. We always want to sit here and think about the bad things that happened, and this was really bad. We want to think about the bad things that have happened, the opportunities missed. You can't look at it that way. You have to look at it about, what did I learn? What am I taking from this? What does this mean for my life? What does this mean for the people around me? And what you need to focus on is the positive, because what we focus on expands. And remain positive, okay? It's one of those things, and I really want to get this message through to both women and men, and especially men, because I think it's harder for them to do this. What I like the young people to learn today is to speak to yourself like someone you love. Because there's a lot of our thoughts can change our entire day and how we go about our business every day, how we think of ourselves. And so I always say, and I struggle with this too, we all do, but taking 15 minutes every morning before you do anything, before you touch your phone, literally go to the bathroom and then do this. Sit with yourself for 15 minutes. Do nothing. Take any negative thoughts, put them on a cloud, let it float away. And then remind yourself throughout the day, I'm going to speak to myself like somebody I love. And that is one of the biggest lessons I've learned this year. And that's what I'd like to share with the young people. And what you consume, you know, they always say you are what you eat. You are what you consume. And that's not just into your tummy. It's into your brain, into your soul and your spirit. And it's not a corny yogi thing I'm talking about. This is what you put in yourself is what you create for yourself. Stop looking at negative things on the social media thing. It is a big hit for this generation. The expectations of people's lives that's all on social media, that's not reality. That's not how that person looks. That's not how that person lives. And we're always searching for what we don't have and what we need to realize it's already here. And what you don't have yet is obtainable, but make sure it's realistic and make sure it's who you are. Find who you are, not what everybody else is doing. Look inside yourself. So that's what I would say to them. And create your opportunities. They're yours to create. They're no one else's, they're yours. And so, and for the folks my age, oh my God, you've been through a lot this year, right? I can only speak for myself, but I can tell you there have been times of absolute despair, absolute fear, trying to figure out what the next steps are for my child's education. I mean, we had to change the way we do business, the way we communicate, the way we educate our children. We had to reevaluate a lot. And I would say, guess what? You made it through a pandemic too. And we see a light at the end of the tunnel. And now all the pieces, all the goodness that we've put together, let's keep that going. I always say, take what serves you and leave the rest, because the rest isn't yours, right? And so I think as parents, as business owners, as you know, employees of companies, we have to look back at this last year and just realize and see the blessings and see the opportunity and then take that with us moving forward, because we've learned a lot. I mean, this country has been through hell politically, obviously now financially, people are struggling. I would say keep going. And you know, my grandmother said to me once, I said, Grandma, how do you do it? How do you see your she's 90 years old when we talked about this. How do you do it? How do you do it? How do you do it? And she says, Tammy, you just have to keep going. You're gonna feel like people are pulling on you, slinging stuff at you. You have to keep your eye on what you want and keep going. You can't listen to the naysayers because they're gonna try to pull you down. You have to just have to keep going. And this woman never sat down. She wore heels, hot, you know, heeled shoes, had her nails done, had her hat on, like she knew who she was, and she kept going. And you know, we lost her at 93. But man, the last thing she said was, get me my brush and my lipstick. I mean, she knew who she was, and that's what we have to find. We have to dig deep and find out who we are and stop looking outside of ourselves for who we are and what we want. It's already here within us, and that's what we have to tap into.
I think there's nothing more to say after that. That was incredible, inspiring. And I know that my next meeting with you is going to be at the beach. Maybe not Solana. Maybe we'll have to meet halfway point in Malibu.
Malibu. I was hoping you were going to say Malibu. Oh my God. I have to take you to the greatest hat shop in the world in Malibu.
Okay. Well, I love hats. That's very funny you said that. It totally was like my thing, hats and shoes. And of course, now there's nowhere to wear either, but I want you to know I have fantastic shoes on right now, even in my office and the podcast.
My last thoughts are, I am so optimistic about the future. I am so optimistic. I know what I'm gonna do. I know so many people around me that are just kicking butt right now, and surround yourself with the most amazing people. And also surround yourself with people who do something better than you do. Because then it offsets, you know, your weaknesses. You know, bring great people. I'm excited about the great people that are around me right now and how they're lifting me up every day. Those are the people you want around you. The ones that, you know, send you the crappy emails about shut up, women are gonna ruin motorsports, like, that fuels me. The naysayers fuel me every day. And allow your naysayers to do the same for you, because use it as fuel, never let it drag you down. And I'm just super optimistic about the future, and I'm really excited about Power Drive and where we're going with it. And I can't wait to give people updates and to have that, you know, that win bell. You know, I have a bell. Every deal I do for somebody, I'm going to ring a bell, and everybody's going to know it. And we're all going to celebrate it. And we're just going to make the world just a better place. And everybody's got to do their part. And whatever your talent is, or whatever your passion is, do your part to take that little piece of it and make it better. Because collectively, if we all take our positives and our talents, we can do some really great things in the world.